Okay, the Senate CRA committee will start. Members present of the committee, this is Representative, or Senator Randy Phillips, chair in the committee. There's no other members here from the committee. Senator Lauren Liebenhauer is here to listen to our testimony. We have Senator George Jacko, the prime sponsor of this bill, present. And George, if you want to step forward and state your name and your affiliation for the record, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
We're on telecoms, by the way.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank you for promptly scheduling Senate Bill 142 relating to the Alaska Regional Economic Assistance Program. My comments will be brief. There are two board members from the Anchorage Otter and Meredith Sander, Executive Director of an Otter in Southwest Alaska on teleconference, as well as the staff from the Commerce Department here to testify after I'm done. The Otter program was established in statute in 1988 and currently includes 13 otters funded under the Department of Commerce, and it's my understanding that there's another otter set to be developed in the Matanuska Valley area, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Current statute description, upon request from two otters in my district, I introduced Senate Bill 142, which amends the current statute stipulating that each otter receive funding of not more than $50,000 each year, and that money must be matched dollar for dollar with non-state funds. The way that Senate Bill 42 would amend the statute is that primarily there's two points to it. Primarily, it would increase the amount that they received in state from $50,000 up to $100,000 per otter. The bill would also authorize the department to establish and regulate the amount of local matching money required based on the capacity of each otter to generate funds from non-state sources, which is the second point of the legislation. The reason that the otter is needed, current funding for the otters is inadequate to ensure the fundamental level of operations. Rising matching funds is especially difficult for the rural otters where the private sector is seriously underdeveloped. I believe that the otters are on the front line as an effective link and an effective delivery system for the state, private and federal programs to people in the communities across the state. I'll defer to the representative from the department to explain the $750,000 fiscal note. Their position statement, I think you have in your packet, is a neutral position statement. I do have a blank committee substitute, which was prepared for the following reasons. There was two additional points that I wanted to include in this legislation. One was that the artist requested to have board members exempt from liability. This is in section one. The blank committee substitute includes that, exempts them from liability is being sued by people unless there are acts of gross negligence. The second point in the committee substitute is section three. It deals with the way that you enter into a contract, and it doesn't require the otters to go out to bid. It's exempt from the procurement. With that, I guess I would like to ask Chris Grates, the Director of Economic Development Division, to come and explain the fiscal note and possibly talk a bit about the legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, my name is Chris Gates, and I'm the Director of the Division of Economic Development within the Department of Commerce. I'd be happy to answer any specific questions you have. I'll just start off by saying that my first day on the job was January 25th, and that first day I went to a Otter meeting in the Matsu. At the Matsu Resort, where the Otter executive directors were gathered for a meeting. At that meeting, I heard again what I knew, in fact, having been a chairman of the Kenai Otter for 3 years, that the funding was a major problem with the Otters. A big part of the activity of the day-to-day work of the Otters was out gathering match monies for state and federal grants that were available. The process of getting these grant monies is so difficult that there's very little extra time in which to actually perform economic development activities, actually going out and hustling companies to come in, recruiting new companies for the area, training small businesses takes a second and a hind seat to getting the match monies for the state program, and for, if they're lucky enough, like the Kenai and the Southwest Otters, federal grants as well. So I was reminded January 25th of the difficulty of getting those match monies, and I heard from the Otter executive directors that that was the single biggest problem towards really having an effective local economic development team in rural and Rail Belt Alaska. And I told them that I would work hard and encourage additional funding for the ARTA program so that they could actually do what they're supposed to be doing, and that's out hustling jobs and making things happen in rural and Rail Belt Alaska. I could go into a number of details of the program, but I'll just answer any questions you might have. And I just want you to know that this is a very effective program at the local level. We have over 200 local leaders involved. This is a grassroots organization. The boards of directors control what the ARTAs are focusing on and what they don't focus on. And they're the ones to decide what works, not from Juneau, not from above on down, but from the local level on up. It works very well. And you have a list in front of you of the achievements of the ARTA, the different ARTAs, and we are very proud of those achievements. And I think we can point to it as one of the most, if not the most, effective economic development tool in the state of Alaska. And with that, I'll just be quiet and answer any questions you might have.
Okay, let the record show that Senator Rick Halford's here. Do you have any questions, sir? Lauren?
Mr. Gates, I'm aware of many of the successes of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation, and I assume that some of the others have had successes also, and I'm sure the one that you were involved with was very successful, and that's probably part of why you're where you are today. But could you just maybe summarize for us some of the successes of some of the other ones and starting new jobs and creating economic activity, and especially in rural Alaska?
Certainly. And I'll start with the one I know the best, and that's my former haunt, the Kenai EDD, Economic Development District in Ardor. I know of the assistance that they gave me specifically in the recruiting helping to get the sawmill back online in Seward, for example. They were very supportive in establishing a business climate in the Kenai Peninsula Borough that was attractive to Young & Morgan Company out of Oregon, and Citifor, which is the Chinese timber forest products group, allowing them to know that their investment in Seward was supported by the region and not just by the town, not just by the city of Seward. In rural Alaska, there's a lot going on with rural tourism, and you'll hear, I think, from Meredith Sandler a little bit about some of the things that are going on in Southwest Alaska with rural tourism, but I'll just go through some of the other items. In the Glen Allen area, putting on a great tourism production called the Glen and Allen Show has been a tremendous success for the Glen Allen Arter. It doesn't sound like much, but it has done an awful lot for the Glen Allen area. I'm going to just try and find a list that I have created here. That just shows the artists that we have. I wanted to get my list of actual accomplishments to just rattle on and on and on, but I can't seem to find that particular list. Included in your packet is a status sheet from most of the artists, and within those status sheets are accomplishments that they've done. Some.
Okay, for the record, Senator Taylor's here. Do you have any questions, Senators? I have one question, actually a couple. You're not with CRA. Oh, no, wait, the Commerce Department has their position paper here, and they've obviously taken a neutral position. We stayed here. This program would cost $1.4 million to fully implement 13 on it, but we have a fiscal note of $750,000 here. You want to talk about the fiscal note a little bit?
Yes, sir. Right now, we do fund the ARTAs with roughly $750,000. Roughly $50,000 per ARTAR, and that is on a one-to-one match. The ARTAs have to basically generate $50,000 of direct cash match in order to qualify for the $50,000 that's available to them from the state. Again, that's a very difficult thing for some of the artists, especially the rural artists, to do when there's lack of a match base, when there aren't communities in their areas, or the economic activity of the area is fairly small when compared to the Rail Belt or Anchorage or Fairbanks. The ability to get match monies is very difficult. It's one of the reasons why we're encouraging this bill.
Okay, it looks like in your fiscal note, the governor's FY94 has $650,000 with this $750,000, comes out to $1.4.
The difference is that we are expecting a 14th arter to come online in Mat-Su, and that would fully fund the Mat-Su arter.
Okay. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you tell us why you needed Section 2 of the CS? Actually, what I should do, Mr. Chairman.
By the way, we're on teleconference.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Chairman, do you want a motion to adopt the CS as a working document?
Not yet.
Okay. I can't ask any questions about it then.
All right, go right ahead then. The reason for it is we just got the CS. I really hadn't had a chance to look at it, but that's a working discussion.
Well, I would move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the CS as the working document for a market vehicle.
All right. And for the record, Senator Adams and Zara are here.
So we've adopted the CS?
Yes, we have.
Okay. With regard to the proposed CS before us, Section 2 adds a regional development organization to the 26501c3. What are the effects of doing that?
I have not seen the CS. Yeah. Is that the liability provision?
No, it's a nonprofit corporation.
It's existing.
Section 2 and 3 are the...
It adds a regional development organization to the 501c3, which is all the other nonprofits. And I'm just wondering what the effect of that. Does that make arters eligible for gaming permits and all kinds of other things, or... You know,
Senator Halford, I'm going to have to get back to you on this.
Senator Halford, I just got this just as you did, so
okay.
I need to, for me, I have to take a look at it before I make my mind up on it as well.
Okay.
That's why I was hesitant.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
You know. Oh. Anyway, go ahead, Senator Halford.
Okay, another question. This is automatically proratable, depending on the appropriation level, is it not? So that... You know, we may have a fiscal note of $750,000, but what we're doing is we're increasing an authorization that's dependent on the appropriation level. Is that not
that
correct?
That is my understanding.
So essentially that's a decision that goes on to the Finance Committee, doesn't really get made by us anyway.
Mr. Chairman, I will say that the rules that we're planning on implementing are going to be on a sliding scale match, with those arters in the rural areas having less of a requirement for match than those arters in the Rail Belt area that have more access to match monies. So we're looking for a 3-to-1 match in the rural area, a 2-to-1 match in those in organized boroughs, and a 1-to-1 match on the second $50,000 to the Rail Belt arters.
And you can do all that within the
we believe we
the
can.
Scope of this authority.
Good.
Any other questions, Senator Taylor? Senator Adams?
Following along these questions.
Senator Adams.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you have those regulations that you have just stated on the matching requirements?
We have. We don't have them drafted in final form, but we have them written up. Yes, sir.
Okay, if I can get a copy, I appreciate it.
I want to remind the members we're on telecom, so flip your switch here, please. Senator
flip your switch.
Yes, Mr. Senator Taylor.
Yeah, I just wanted to know the reason for putting in Section 1. Has anybody ever brought suit against one of these people? And if so, why should we protect them? And if so, from what?
From lawyers.
Protect chair. From lawyers and protecting them from people they've injured.
We're talking about volunteers on a board of directors, volunteer business owners that when I was sitting on the board, did not want to be threatened or, you know, or have my...
I just wanted to
or have to worry about it. Have to worry about liability for my actions when I'm trying to increase the economic activity of the whole region. It's more of a real tool in terms of protecting from some of the large lawsuits that could be brought when the arters are bringing in Federal Express and bringing in big projects to local areas and just not have a lawsuit, the threat of a lawsuit hanging over their heads.
Why would we want to sue a board of directors?
I don't know. Has anybody ever sued one?
I'm not aware of an auditor ever being sued.
Okay. Any other questions?
So you're not leaving.
Thank you. On the teleconference system, we have two people in Anchorage that I'm aware of, and don't know if that's it. Dee Thomas and Joe Clausen. Would you step up to the mic and state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Yes, this is Dee Thomas, the ABC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
This is Dee Thomas with ABC.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I would just like to mention the section one regarding purchasing and contracting. We've encountered some difficulties in trying to implement an economic development program feasibility study or marketing program. We've incurred considerable delays in moving forward with the project or implementing the project because of the state purchasing regulations. We support the amending the statute so we can allow auditors to contract directly with the state agencies so that we don't incur these delays and we can move forward with the project.
She's looking at the old bill.
Yeah.
Right. Dee, we have a new committee substitute before us, and I know this is at a disadvantage to you. I myself just got it about 5 minutes ago. So the section one that you're talking about is now section three in the new CS.
Okay, then well, section three as far as the contract.
We'll fax you a copy of the CS so you can take a look at it.
CS?
What's that?
Did you do the CS?
Yeah, it's adopted for, as a word.
For discussion purposes.
But who put it together?
George.
Sponsored.
Okay, could I have Joe Clausen, please?
Yes, this is Joe Clausen.
I got Clausen.
Go
right ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. I have it spelled C-L-O-S-S-O-N.
C-R-O-S-S-O-N.
All right, I can only read what I have.
No problem. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to support the bill as we don't have a copy of the CS, but when we get a fax, I'd like to reiterate our support for the bill. One thing that I'd like to address is the liability issue. We get very involved with corporations. We get involved to the extent that sometimes we will enter into development agreements and contracts. And many times those contracts and development agreements can be very involved. And with the limited liability, I think it would enhance our ability to go forward with large projects in dealing with large corporations and other agencies. Yeah, basically, that's all I'd like to address in that issue. The threat of lawsuit, I suppose, is always there, but to limit that and to have the community involved, such as the board of directors and even independent developers getting involved with the project would help.
Okay, do we have any questions? No questions. Is that the end of your testimony?
No, I'd like to turn this over. Meredith Sandler is here, and Carl Berger is here, and they'd like to testify also.
Okay. Just have them step up to the mic and state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Yes, this is Carl Berger. I'm the director for the Lower Kuskokwim Economic Council, which is based in Bethel. We provide services to Bethel and 24 villages on the Lower Kuskokwim and Bering Sea coast. I'm testifying in support of the bill. One of the issues that we've had to deal with recently is the problem of funding for our program. We have in the past, over the last year, a little more, since our harvest has been formed, we've had to use other funds from other programs in order to support some of the services we've provided through the ARTA program. And we've come to the point now where those other funds are disappearing. While we are trying to still find other sources, the amount of money that we currently receive this year from the legislature for our larger program, which is 47 not adequate to provide for one person to work and for some travel and for some things that need to be accomplished for our successful delivery of service. So I would say we do need to have enough funding to provide just the basic support to the program so that we can go out and work with villages who need the help instead of having to worry about where funds for our continued operation are going to come from. That's the main point I'd like to make with you. We have leveraged money in the past. I think we've had, among all the ARTA programs, a sevenfold increase in the amount of money leveraged against the money that the legislature provides. But some of the smaller programs have a more difficult time raising funds, particularly in rural areas where there are so few resources. That's the extent of my testimony.
All right. Any questions from the committee? Okay. Seeing none. Can we have Meredith, please?
Senator Phillips, thank you very much. My name is Meredith Sandler. I'm the executive director of the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference. And I would like to testify in support of the CS version of Senate Bill 154. As Chris indicated, ARDRs, or Alaska Regional Development Organizations, all these acronyms, kind of gets hard, are governed by local boards of directors. Mine include, you know, municipal representatives, native corporations, native nonprofit representatives, tribal council representatives. Each of the ARDRs, including the Southwest Conference, is a nonprofit, and each of the staff people, whether executive directors or other staff, are employees of the nonprofit. We are not state employees. We're the folks who are on the front line. We're the people who link together the private, state, and federal economic development resources with local residents and small businesses who indicate to us what they need. Programs and staff of agencies such as DCRA, ADA, EDA, and other agencies are our tools that we pull in as needed. And we're often relied upon by those agencies to pull them in because they don't have the staff resources or the money to be able to get to the local level and work with local people. We do have access to private in-kind resources, some of us do at least, such as free airfare, furniture, accounting assistance. But the money to pay for the actual costs, such as salaries and rent, secretarial support, that's the kind of money we're looking to the state for assistance. We've used our money in the past for that, and as Carl indicated, $47,000 does not go real far in terms of trying to cover your salaries, rent, and secretarial support. Senator Lehman had asked about our successes, and at least in terms of Southwest Conference, some of the things that we point to are the business opportunity tours that we have where through the opportunity to for Anchorage businesses to go out to Southwest Alaska. We've now had, for example, KeyBank open a branch in Kodiak and in Dillingham, which is to their benefit, gets them out into the regional areas as well, and does employ local people in new jobs. We've had small businesses located in Anchorage and Kodiak now be able to do business in Unalaska with the factory trawlers and the onshore processors providing services and supplies that they did not have the opportunity for that market before. We have provided small business to about 22 small businesses and the Pribilofs, keeping them going and just allowing them to learn what it's like to keep a business operating and trying to get them to avoid the accounting problems that they've had in the past. And as Chris mentioned, we have organized, actually for about 3 years, we've organized a regional tourism marketing group, which has, through its efforts, it just increased the visitation to Southwest Alaska and increased the participation by small communities in getting visitors and the kinds of visitors that they feel comfortable with in terms of eco-tourists and that sort of thing. In terms of the problems that this bill addresses, most of the directors, as Chris indicated, have to spend a fair amount of time fundraising, and I'm one of those people, and it gets immensely frustrating when you have to spend so much time fundraising rather than doing program, which is why you're there in the first place. Rural areas without municipalities and boroughs have limited financial resources, limited businesses from which to get a grant, but those are the kinds of areas specifically that really benefit the most from a locally based development effort such as the ARDA represents. And for example, the ARDA director, executive director in Prince William Sound, took out a personal loan to keep her office open in November and December of last year so that she could work on economic development projects that she was midway through and that really looked like we're going to make a difference in her region. And that's, you know, a real level of commitment, but it's not exactly the way to run, you know, an organization. I think the folks from Anchorage have already talked about procurement and liability problems. Just on a procurement level, we have been asked by Alaska Marine Highway to do some work for them to get input into the design of their new ocean-class vessel, and we had to go through all kinds of procurement, kind of detours in order to meet procurement regulations when we were the ones that they wanted to contract with to most cost-efficiently get input for them out in our region. And I think each of the artists is going to have the same problem. DOT is very interested in using us to get information for their IT program, to gather current transportation data and such. And that's real expensive to hire a consultant to get, at $75 or $80 an hour. It's much cheaper to get the artist to do that. But because of the procurement regulations, it's a real obstacle for them to be able to use us. So with that, Mr. Chairman, we'll close my testimony. Thank you.
Questions from the committee? Okay, do we have anybody else on the teleconference system to testify?
I believe someone just came in, if you can hang on.
Okay. Senator Phillips, do you want an explanation how it works?
Well, let's get the testimony again.
I got it figured out.
Rick, the point is, we can put a CS.
Chancellor, I just walked in the room. My name is David Baker. I'm the corporate secretary and a director for the Arctic Development Council, which is the ARDR for the North Slope region.
I'm
just now reading the bill. I guess I know that there's been some amendments since the last time I saw it, which was about 2 weeks ago, as you know. I guess my testimony would be limited to saying that the Arctic Development Council and its directors and constituents are very much in favor of passage of this bill. We have no objections to the amendments. The primary reason we're in favor of it is because the smaller ARDRs, which we feel are very effective, are having a very difficult time operating on the limited budget that they have. Our budget in our region has been only about $100,000 total, and by having the total budget be in the neighborhood of $150,000, we feel that it would make the small staff that we have much more efficient. Our executive director can't even get out of the office hardly to go out and actually promote economic development within the region because he can't leave. We don't have an adequate budget at this point to hire a competent office manager, and the funding level of $150,000 for our ARDR, and I suspect for others, would let us have the base level funding to run an office would actually let us get out in front of promote economic development. I think that's the substance of our testimony.
Okay, Senator Taylor.
What in this bill would increase your budget?
Well, I think, as I understand it, the state's portion would be increased from $50,000 per year to $100,000, and the private sector contribution would still be $50,000, and that would make it, as I understand it, a budget of $150,000 per year. So that, in our case, is a rather substantial increase. And I recognize that it's coming at a time when state revenues are potentially dropping, and the budget needs to be cut. But at the same time, we feel that the ARDR program could be so effective in the long term that it needs to be funded at the higher level.
Let me try that question again. I thought this money that was being allocated within this formula in Section 1 or Section 3 or 4 here, depending on which one you're looking at, I thought that money was to go into the project itself, not to go to support people who were promoting the project.
Well, sir, I can't make that distinction because I'm not familiar enough with the bill. It was my understanding that as I look at Section 4 here, the last sentence says the total amount of grant money provided to an organization during a fiscal year may not exceed $100,000, and in parentheses is $50,000 next to it. As I understand it, if nothing else changes so far as what the money can be used for.
This is Senator Phillips. I think we'll have an explanation. Chris, would you explain it?
Sure, thank you very much. We are proposing that the cap be raised from $50,000 to $100,000. The use of those funds would stay in the same purposes, in the same allowed uses that currently exist. in the rural arters, such as the Arctic arter that Mr. Baker is speaking of, his match would only actually require $16,000. If the program is to give $50,000, basically without obligation, the first $50,000, then the second $50,000 would require a match. And the rail belt arters would require a one-to-one match, but the rural arters, such as Arctic, would require a one-to-three. They would raise $1 for every $3 the state would contribute on the second $50,000. So actually, he would only need $16,000 to get the $100,000from the state under our proposed plan. Now, if he wanted to continue the $50,000 contribution, that would be great, and it would allow Nome, it would allow their area to have a real strong force for economic development. Does that confuse you completely?
It really does, but I think what you were saying was he raises one-third of the first $50,000, and for that he gets a match of $100,000.
Sir, actually it's the second $50,000. We're proposing that the first $50,000, a basic person and a small, tiny office, that the state would give that kind of seed money to the 13 arters. And we'd give that as basically a grant. And then the second $50,000, which they would have, not entitlement to, they would have the ability to claim, would be available to them under a match program, 1-to-1, 2-to-1, or 3-to-1.
I see. So we're supporting an office out there that's being maintained at $50,000, let's say.
Yes, sir.
That's okay. And then that office goes out and it promotes business, we hope. And that business gets the grant or the office? I guess I'm confused there, because it sounds like if he can promote himself an additional amount of money for his office, which may or may not do a bit of good for anybody's business out there.
Actually, there are no the specific projects are put forward in a work program defined by the board of directors of the Arter. And that work program is hustled and worked on by the executive director and the staff, and we help pay the expenses of that staff and the office. To accomplish their work program, not from above, but what they think will work.
Senator Phillips, this is Meredith Sandler. May I add anything
Not yet.
I guess my question then is, what are we accomplishing out there? I mean, I know Senator Lehman asked a similar question, and the answer was that KeyBank had now gone to Kodiak and someplace else. I can't believe that the decision made by KeyBank to go to Kodiak had anything to do with somebody sitting around out there in a $50,000 office welcoming them to town. I mean, they went out there because there was enough business out there for that bank chain to afford the investment and to make hopefully something off of it. I don't think they went out there because somebody put up 50 grand.
Senator Taylor, we really could spend an hour going through the accomplishments of the 13 arters. They have been real. Hundreds of jobs have been created
right here.
And it's a very viable, successful program that we'd love to document for you. And we'll do it now if you'd like. But
No, that's fine. I'm looking through this blue packet, and that'll be adequate. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go back to Ames, to Mr. Baker, and then to Meredith. Mr. Baker, do you have any further questions or testimony?
Well, I guess I was, I just walked in and I got caught a little flat-footed on
That's
the distinction
fine.
Between whether the money would be used for operations or projects. The Arter program, and if I'm redundant, cut me off, the Arter program is a series of non-profit corporations which hire staff, and the staff, as you pointed out, carry out a work program which has been approved by the state. The both the private sector portion and the current match portion go into funding operations of our arter. The executive director then goes out and promotes economic development. None of the funds that we have received from the state portion of the grant would be used to actually fund projects. Projects are, as they are identified, are funded on an individual basis from separate funding, frequently from federal grants, and sometimes if they're strong enough, if they're commercially feasible, then loan funds may be available. But I guess for our part, what this is about is being able to run an adequate office to promote economic development in our region, and we simply are finding that we're not doing as good a job as we could with the funds that we have available, and we feel that with the additional funds, that we could do a better job than we do now.
Any other questions? Mr. Baker, do you have any other questions?
I have none at this point, but I think a couple people here at the table have a couple comments they'd like to make.
I haven't forgotten about it. Senator Halper? Okay. Meredith, you wanted to say something, so go right ahead.
There's two clarifications. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One is, for in our program, the people are the project. For instance, we are the individuals who go out and work with the small businesses one-on-one, or teach the marketing seminars to businesses that don't know how to market, or, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, it's the people that this money goes to fund that are doing the programs and are dealing with the businesses directly to help them, you know, fill out loan packages. I mean, you name it. We're the ones who are providing that kind of assistance. It's, you know, we're not talking about big corporations here. We're talking about one-person offices, two-person offices, you know, that kind of thing. The second thing, I understand what Senator Taylor was saying, and you're right. The decision to open up, obviously, in Dillingham and Kodiak and other places is not based on what we present them. However, as you may have heard during the economic summit, these businesses don't know what kind of potential is out in the rural areas. They are constantly surprised when we physically take them out to Kodiak or physically take them to Dillingham or Unalaska, and they talk to people and they talk about, they find out that, let's say in Sandpoint, the school district could put $6 million on deposit at a moment's notice. They have no idea of those kinds of facts. So you're right, the decision to make to open up in those areas is predicated on, you know, on things that we're not about. However, we introduce them to the potential that they have talked to us. I mean, Key Bank has said, we would not be in Dillingham unless you had taken us out there and showed us the potential out there. And that's the kind of hand-holding that you've got to do, whether it's a small business or even a larger business like Key Bank.
Okay, is there any further witnesses in Anchorage? Hearing none, we're going to go here back to Juneau and then to Glenn Allen. Mitch? Okay, we'll go back up to Glenn Allen. I have a Miss Donna Tolman. Are you online?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead. For the record, your name and affiliation, please.
Donna Tolman, Copper Valley Economic Development Council and our organization.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
I think that, you know, some good points have been raised. One thing, I think that we're a good example. We are here, we're in an unorganized borough. We have no corporate funding base from which to draw matching funds. What has happened is the call for our services has been so tremendous, doing the things that Meredith mentioned, loan packaging, assisting small businesses, putting together their business plan. We have 38 clients currently that we're working with. We conduct workshops. We're being asked to deliver programs both from state and federal to assist them with information gathering to promote economic development projects. Another thing that we've become very active in is helping people through stumbling blocks to opening businesses, both, you know, federal regulations, state regulations, etc. We have a great deal of difficulty raising our $50,000 match at the current level, yet the need for our services increases on a daily basis. And it's a one-person operation with a part-time staff person. And, you know, we put in 10 to 12-hour days, which we enjoy doing because of the success in seeing small business people being able to achieve and make these small regions become economically viable. You know, we're just one, and I know that there are several others that are in the same situation. And we're here, we're accessible, which has become a major, major part of our program. The fact that people don't have to travel 200, 300, 400, 500 miles to get the type of information that we're now providing. Thank you.
Any questions of the committee? Seeing none. Do we have anybody, either in Anchorage or Glen Allen or any other telecom site, that has not testified that wants to testify? Okay, do we have anybody here in Juneau that has not testified that wants to testify? Okay, seeing no takers, bills before the committee. Mr. Halford.
Mr. Chairman, I think I went back and looked to make sure that the first two sections deal only with liability, and they only deal with a section in Title IX, which is limited liability of certain directors and officers. So it doesn't affect any other broad category of adding these directors to nonprofits. So I'm satisfied with the way that's drafted, and I don't think there's any problem in that. The third section adds a number 30 to a 29 exemption list that deals with the procurement code, and that I think also makes sense. And the fourth section is what the original bill was. I would point out that this doesn't appropriate any money. All it is an increase in the authorization of the maximum amount. So it's essentially increasing the cap without appropriating any money. And I would suggest that we send it on to finance, and they'll have to work out if they're going to add any money, how they're going to get it, and what they're going to do. But I understand your concern, and I share the concern with getting a CS that late, but I'm satisfied with it.
Mr. Halford, I think we'll let this go by at this time, but I just want to warn the members that, you know, CS appropriately should be in our files the day before and not 15 minutes into the meeting.
I agree.
Because, you know, we had a couple of witnesses that were testifying that did not have the same sheet of music. So I'm going to let this go by, but from this point on, this is just for any legislator. I'm not going to entertain a motion to send out a CS unless that CS is in the day before. This is what concerns me, because frankly, I'd like to spend a little time looking at the ramifications on this. So with that speech, I'll entertain a motion to move it out.
So moved. I move with individual action.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Chairman?
Let's move it out. Any objections? Okay, we're going to move it out with individual recommendations. Is there anything else to be brought before the committee? Okay, we're adjourned at 10 minutes to 10.